Welcome to Marathon. May I help you?
Yes.
How may I help you?
You can start by wiping that fucking dumbass smile off your rosy fucking cheeks. Then you can give me a fucking automobile. A fucking Datsun, a fucking Toyota, a fucking Mustang, a fucking Buick. 4 fucking wheels and a seat.
I really don't care for the way you're speaking to me.
And I really don't care for the way your company left me in the middle of fucking nowhere with fucking keys to a fucking car that isn't fucking there. And I really didn't care to fucking walk down a fucking highway and across a fucking runway to get back here to have you smile at my fucking face. I want a fucking car right fucking now.
May I see your rental agreement?
I threw it away.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, what?
You're fucked.
The End Day Move Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
And this is Damian.
And this week we have with us a guest. He writes for firstshowing.net as well as Film School Rejects, and he is on The Golden Briefcase, a podcast which you can find at firstshowing.net. How are you doing tonight, Jeremy Kirk?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys doing?
I think we're surviving.
Yeah, he sounds different than on the podcast. So different life.
Do I not sound like I'm in a broom closet?
No,
because I've been told I sound like I sound like I'm in a broom closet on The Golden Briefcase.
Uh-huh.
I've also been told that I sound like Seth Rogen, but I don't hear that at all.
I don't hear that either.
I think the thing is that tonight he's on drugs.
Ah, okay.
Have you been taking any drugs tonight, Jeremy?
Maybe I need to do more drugs and then I'll sound like Seth Rogen.
That's possible.
Not to say, I'm not saying that Seth Rogen does a lot of drugs.
No, that's okay.
But he does.
But he does.
Anyways, we're going to start out like how we usually start out every podcast, talking about what we've been watching. So, Jeremy, what have you been watching this past week?
Well, speaking of Seth Rogen,
yes,
segue.
I watched The Green Hornet last week.
What did you think of that?
I wasn't looking forward to this movie at all. I was actually kind of dreading it. I thought it was going to be just this massive train wreck of stupid action and stupid comedy, and it was a lot of fun. I was surprised. I was pleasantly surprised by how much fun it was. Seth Rogen is kind of distracting in it. He's kind of playing his typical Seth Rogen self, but if you can get past that, the movie's got a lot of really good action, and Michel Gondry does a really good job kind of instilling some of his visual style into everything. It's a good movie. Recommend it.
I actually got to see that movie as well. I mean, it had good points. Seth Rogen is kind of annoying and a child, but and he's bothersome,
yeah.
But whenever he's with Kato, it just works. Like, I enjoy it. I don't know. Kato.
You kind of focus on Kato more, and he's a lot of fun to watch.
What else have you been watching?
Let's see. I watched Another Year, which was it's Mike Leigh's new film. Starring
Jim Broadbent and
Jim Broadbent and Ruth Sheen play this elderly couple, and the film's kind of broken up in different seasons, and their friends they kind of act like a planet, and all of their friends are like moons that kind of gravitate around them. It's a really good movie. It was a lot more lighthearted than I thought it was going to be. This girl, Leslie Manville, is one of the friends, and she is incredible. She's probably the highlight of the film. Has anybody had a chance to see that yet? Another Year?
No.
No, that one hasn't hit out here yet.
And probably will never hit out here.
Might not. I don't know. Do you guys get a lot of those British old people comedies?
Not really. No.
Anything that not doesn't really. Get a major wide release in the States probably won't come here.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, has anybody had a chance to see Exit at the Gift Shop yet?
Yes. Very much
okay.
So.
Because I actually rewatched that this past week. That's probably my third favorite movie of last year behind Black Swan and True Grit. It's just, it's probably one of the most entertaining documentaries I've seen in a long time. Banksy is such a cool character. It's a really good movie.
I really enjoyed Exit Through the Gift Shop. That is a great film. I actually haven't watched it a second time. I need to revisit that film.
That's one of those movies I think I could watch again right now. It's just so entertaining all the way through. Even if you don't know anything about Banksy or street art, I highly recommend you checking that out. I've also been going through a TV series called Breaking Bad.
Oh my goodness.
That's been on AMC.
I've never heard of this show.
So much about this show, and I've never... for some reason, I've been putting off watching it, and I just started watching it a few months ago, and I'm hooked. It is such a great show.
Now that I think about it, didn't you... You tweeted about Danny Trejo, didn't you?
I did, because I watched that episode tonight.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything, because if you haven't seen it, it would probably be considered... It's really kind of a surprise what happens to Danny Trejo, but for those of you who have seen it, it involves Danny Trejo and a tortoise, and it's that scene is just holy shit. It is so awesome.
I feel so left out right now.
Oh, you should. Oh, what's wrong with you? You haven't watched Breaking Bad
yet.
What
is it that is so much better that you're spending your time watching?
Firefly, apparently.
Black Swan.
Oh. Or like what?
Black Swan.
Black Swan. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you're just rewatching it over and over, like on loop.
The Black Swan? That's why you can't watch Breaking Bad? Because you've been watching Black Swan?
I'm actually just poking at Damien because he hates Black
Swan. No, I don't hate it. It's just not the best movie of the year.
Gotcha.
And it was my number one film.
It's not for everybody, I will say that. But yeah, I mean, if you haven't been watching Breaking Bad, I highly recommend it. The first season, I don't want to say it takes a lot to get through the first season, but the first season is really just kind of the establishment of all the characters. It's really, once the second season hits, it's really freaking good. That's what I've been watching this week.
Damien, what have you been watching?
Okay, I also saw Green Hornet, and all I have to say about that is Disco Santa Claus.
That opening scene is fantastic. I love that cameo.
I mean, sweet mercy. That's so good.
That was a good cameo.
Yes, it was. That movie's fun. It's about time they started making fun superhero movies again.
Until Dark Knight Rising comes back.
No, I mean, there's a place for both. It's just everybody was going down the dark and brooding path, and Seth Rogen decided to parody all superhero movies with this one movie. And him and Gondry, although they were fighting for most of the time, at least that's the stories that came out. The movie turned out pretty okay.
I think probably my favorite part of the Green Hornet was when he started doing the split screens.
Yeah,
and like each of the cameras would follow the split screens, and then it would split again and again, and it was all just one continuous shot. That was really cool.
No, it was my least favorite part of that movie. The shitty converted 3D.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't horrible.
It wasn't distracting.
Exactly.
I'll say. But no, don't spend any extra money to see it in 3D, because it's not worth it at all.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't have a choice.
Oh.
Oh.
So sorry.
I know.
All right. I also got Justified Season 1 on Blu-ray. And started watching it again. Yeah.
I applaud you. That is
it's $20. And it is very, very... It's awesome. We love Timothy Oliphant here on the podcast. And so we might be just a little bit biased.
Just a tad.
But
a lot of love for Tim Dill.
Right. Outside of the blatant bias, it is really, really, really good. Timothy Oliphant, I mean, just to pull off that character is quite impressive. I mean, he's so smug and yet likable. It's really good.
And still a badass.
Yeah. And I haven't really done anything else. All my other free time has been occupied by Grand Theft Horse. Red Dead Redemption is really good.
Red Dead Redemption.
It's really good, guys.
I need to get that game. Like,
it's
honestly.
Really, really good. And that's it.
That's it? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Douglas?
I'm surprised. So, I watched quite a few movies, and there was one movie that I watched this week that I wasn't going to talk about, but I feel that I should know. And that movie is The Green Hornet.
Everyone saw The Green Hornet.
I saw The Green Hornet, and while I was looking forward to this movie.
Why?
Oh, right. We've got Michel Gondry directing.
Michel Gondry
acting. I love Seth Rogen. He's a funny man, you know. It ended up being, how did you put it? A train wreck of stupid action and bad jokes.
I remember when movies were like that, and it was fun. Like Rambo and Cobra.
That's like Iron Man. Iron Man was fun like that.
I love how you're comparing Green Hornet to Cobra. That is an amazing comparison.
Right.
I think right now what we need to do is we need to get Dave and Amber together. They'll be perfect for each other.
Right.
If only at some point Seth Rogen cut a slice of pizza with a pair of scissors, it would just be
It would have perfect. Been too awesome. They could have fit all that awesome on the screen. I mean, but Kato Vision was great.
Kato Vision was ridiculously stupid.
I'm sorry?
All Kato Vision was... No, you know what Kato Vision was? The camera went into slow motion. And a couple of things started turning red.
Right.
What's so special about that?
They did turn green at one point.
No, that was Seth Rogen Vision.
And that ended really well. It was so funny. Oh, so good. Look,
and it makes sense to be green because he smokes a
cigarette. How Kato managed to go through both sides of a car and his arms still pointing to the other
while
side.
While we're giving stuff away, a man has nunchucks shoved into his eyes.
Thank you.
I mean, come on.
No, if I don't know what you went in expecting, Douglas, and I'm sorry that you had expectations going into the movie, right? That you cannot blame the movie because you had expectations. That's your fault. Everyone knew that this movie was going to be, quote-unquote, a brilliant movie. Right? So they had to go down the other way. Listen, and they went down
Michel
the other
Gondry
way, and it was great.
I was expecting Green Hornet made with paper mache or something. What? Come on. Come on.
Thank God you don't direct movies. And if you become a producer at any point, please tell me the name of the production house. I'll never watch any of your movies.
Alright, cool.
How about if he sends you a free screen?
Absolutely not.
Anyway, there are a few movies that I watched that were really good that I really, really wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And these movies, I mean, they were spectacular. Definitely, like, Oscar-worthy. First movie was Megamind. With Will Ferrell and Brad Pitt. And
Demon is trying to comprehend this statement.
Why the silence? No agreement? Nobody?
I haven't seen it yet.
What? I'm being stabbed now. How sad.
Yes. Can you move on?
No, seriously.
Are you being stabbed with nunchucks? Because that would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Yes, it would be.
But no, the next best thing...
That movie wasn't good.
The movie, actually, I did not mind the movie at all. I thought it was pretty decent for what it was. But then, you know what it is? I went in the opposite. I didn't have any expectations at all.
Me either.
And I saw the movie and I just kept going because I remember I had something to do and I was like, well, maybe I'll watch the first 20 minutes of this movie. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And I really do enjoy the movie. It's
plus, you love Brad Pitt. I think that's clouding your judgment.
Whatever, dude. The next really great movie that I watched was How I Trained My Dragon. That.
Oh, yeah.
How to.
How whatever. Yes. How to train, how I trained.
No.
Either way.
How to get trained. Get it right. Oh, dear.
Have you so not how seen that movie yet?
I saw it while I was watching, well, actually right after the top 10 segment.
Okay.
So, yeah. Really cool movie, really, again, blew my expectations out of the water. And also, I actually did watch two Oscar-worthy films. I watched True Grit, which was really good, and I watched The Road, which was fantastic. And
I just want to know, is, how should I put this nicely?
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a certain movie on your list that is...
No. Listen, stop. I'm going to tell it from now. Youth in Revolt?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's better
than Mother, and it's better than True.
Yes, and it's better than Inception, and it's better than Mother.
Remember when
you know what? Shit, I made a mistake. It's better than Unprofit. It is my number one movie for
Remember when we teased Andrew for saying stupid shit on the podcast and trying to defend it? Guess what? 2011
stupid shit.
Yeah. But I want to talk about one last thing before I pass it on to Andrew. And I've been watching this TV show called Zen.
I saw that. Is it good?
It's actually, you know what it is? It's weird because I wouldn't call it I wouldn't call it a great show, but it's one of those. Well, first off, every episode is a movie. It's an hour and a half long. Okay.
How many episodes in the season?
So far, it's three.
Is it?
I'm not sure how long it's going to go. But it is a criminal.
Procedural.
It's procedural, but it's a mystery. It's very much a better version of the type of thing you might watch on like PBS. You know, like a mystery theater or whatever thingy. Like
Masterpiece Theater.
Yes, Masterpiece Theater type of thing. And it kind of is what it is. I enjoy watching it. I know it's not, you know, great
TV. Is this the show with Rufus Sewell?
Yes, that's the one.
I like Rufus Sewell.
Yeah.
Good actor.
I like him too. He's in Dark City. I love Dark City.
Look, he's awesome in Dark City.
The tourist, you can't blame him for that. He said a line.
He was in the movie
tourist.
For 2 minutes.
Right.
No,
he said a line.
I blame everyone in that movie.
I blame you for making me watch that movie.
I didn't make watch.
Yes, you did.
I said I was going to the movie. Mm-hmm. You can come along if you feel like
right,
this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This, by the way, while Damon was at Andrew's house.
I'm saying I'll leave you playing Pro Evil. I don't mind.
Right.
But yeah, no, that's a fun little show that I've enjoyed watching for the past few weeks.
So, what about True Grit? Get details on
details
True
on True Grit?
Yeah, how much do you love it?
It's a Western.
And, Jeff Bridges has the greatest Western accent of all time. That is truly tremendous.
Jesus, occupied.
Oh, that was awesome. I love that.
How does he do it? Oh, so good.
Eating gravel while drinking a drink.
So good.
Yes, that's all.
All right, so this week I saw a bunch of stuff. The first thing I want to talk about is The Most Beautiful, which is Akira Kurosawa's second ever made film. It's about these women in a factory fixing up lenses for the war, for all of the ships and stuff going out to war. And this was back when he was still contracted by the government to make propaganda films.
I'm sorry, they make lenses?
Yeah.
For the war?
Yes, for like sniper scopes, for all sorts of stuff.
Okay, that makes sense.
Sorry.
I was like, what?
Even though when you're watching it, you can tell that he was more or less forced by the government to push the whole underlying theme of, you know, work hard and then we'll win the war kind of deal, it still ends up being a fantastic movie. I don't know how Kurosawa does it, because I actually watched his first film before that, which is Sanshiro Sugata, and you could tell where there were parts that were cut out from his version. And they even said at the beginning, they had this whole text saying that they couldn't find all of those parts that were cut out. So this is the version that we have, and it's the best we got, but we still think it's a really good movie. Please enjoy. you know, and it was still a good movie, but you could feel that there was something better. Like, Kurosawa had, like, with Ikiru and all of his other more famed movies, he had all of these great character themes, and in Sanshiro Sagata, it was kind of missing. It kind of felt like there was 15 minutes missing, which would have made it that. But with The Most Beautiful, it kind of worked really well, and it's a film that I would actually recommend to people who haven't seen it. It's a good film. I have it on the shelf.
Yeah, for communism.
Quite awesome.
Always recommend more Kurosawa.
Always.
For people to watch.
And communist propaganda.
Also,
and communist propaganda.
Also, for the first time, I watched Edward Zwick's Glory.
Oh.
With, everyone knows the film. It has Denzel and...
Who?
Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman, and
how many Denzels do you know?
And I mean, I really like this movie. It's a really good movie.
What?
But the one problem I had with it was while I was watching it, and towards the end, as fantastic as it was, I kept asking myself, why am I watching this movie from the eyes of Matthew Broderick's character?
Because Andrew. No. You have to understand. This movie, it makes perfect sense, right? It has to be through Matthew Broderick's eyes because he's the white man. And in the end,
exactly,
the white man
this was,
is king, you know?
This is a Hollywood, this is
exactly
a Hollywood, mainstream Hollywood film in the late 80s. They can't identify with the black guy.
Are you high, Andrew? Were you high while watching this
movie? I felt it would have been a better movie if it was told from, like, let's say, Morgan Freeman's perspective as opposed to...
Right.
Because even from the perspective of Matthew Broderick, you still get all of those heavy race elements.
No, it's because you want Morgan Freeman to do the narration.
Probably. That would have made the movie more awesome.
And that's cheap.
Right.
Do not cheapen the movie like that.
Yeah. Also, I wasn't a huge fan of Matthew Broderick in this film. I don't know if it's because I know him as Ferris Bueller, I'm not tainted.
No, the truth is, Matthew Broderick has been good in maybe two movies?
No, three.
I can tell it them from now.
Ferris Bueller.
The Graduate. Not The Graduate, sorry. The what's
that
it
is
called?
The movie.
Oh, that's the name of it? The Graduate. And the one with Reese Witherspoon. The
Election.
Election, thank you.
I have not seen Election.
I don't like that movie.
Here, everybody loves it, because I have not
lots
seen
of people
it.
Love it. I haven't seen everything, but I enjoy what I've seen.
Did you mean The Freshman when you were thinking of The Graduate?
Oh shit, it is The Freshman.
I told you it wasn't The Graduate, but
it's
no,
freshman.
Wouldn't believe me.
The Graduate is Dustin Hoffman.
Right.
I kept thinking it had the same name for some reason. I don't know why.
Andrew, you're leading me astray. But anyway, it makes sense for Matthew Broderick to be in this movie. You know, a white man just loafing off the acting chops of other hardworking black men. Makes sense for this movie, at least, I thought.
Also, I saw The Virginity Hit, which...
Why?
Why is that?
It looked like a fun movie. I wanted to watch
how
it.
How did that movie... Never mind. Continue, Andrew.
It uses a documentary style, and even though you know that it's not a real story, it's actually a really fun...
It's not a real story?
Shit. It's not a real documentary. Right, sorry. It's not a real documentary. It's still a really fun,
a
like,
story.
High school coming-of-age kind of story. Like, it fits into the Superbad kind of...
It's harsh, it fits.
and I really enjoyed it. It's a good 7.
Can we change the name of the podcast? The Fake Stories.
All the Fake Stories.
The Fake Story Podcast, where we talk about lots of shit that never really happened.
Oh, fake Stories, oh, that's good.
And the last thing I want to talk about is I started watching the series for Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Tokyo, yeah. I don't understand.
I'm like almost done the first season, or the first book, as they call it. And I'm really impressed.
It's really good, isn't it?
Shyamalan,
what so
is
much
wrong
out of
with
the...
you people? Why are you watching a Saturday morning Nickelodeon cartoon?
It's actually
Why?
Not Saturday morning.
It's not Saturday.
I've heard that Avatar: The Last Airbender is actually a
really
it good
really
cartoon.
Really
I haven't watched any of it.
I keep hearing that as well, but I keep. You know, saying that
look,
they're wrong.
Douglas, it's freakishly good.
I used to watch Nickelodeon, and I love so
right.
much from Nickelodeon,
right.
but,
so there was
but
Invader
in, that's nostalgia vision going
right.
on for me.
Zim.
Okay?
Right. And Fairly Odd Parents, right. But this is, like, it's good. Not in the... Not like the Dragon Ball Z kind of way where people just watched it and look at all the fighting. No, it's really good. They do silly shit like develop characters. And tell a coherent story.
That's the thing, right? Like, even if you
that
want...
craziness.
Madness.
Even if you want to claim that, you know, Shyamalan can't tell a story, the biggest thing he left out of that film was the characters.
Yes. And he can't tell a story.
Every
now, have you all seen the Shyamalan movie?
I have.
I refuse.
I did not like movie.
Not even as a joke.
I sat through that movie because I wanted to laugh that night. And I laughed very well. But
yeah.
Not for the same reason
you're
that I laugh while I'm watching
man.
The series.
Sick, sick man.
Like, the entire character of Aang and... Kitaro, is that her name?
Yeah.
And
Sokka.
Sokka. They're all completely different from the film. They're more
like
so much more enjoyable. And I love it. It's a great show. If you have not watched it, I.E. Douglas, start.
No, seriously, Douglas. It has no right being that good.
I don't believe you.
Alright. And when it ends, you feel satisfied with the ending. Right? It's all, it's as if they thought up all the things ahead of time and then did the and then made the series.
You mean left off?
You mean they had the, wait, hold on, let me get this right. So they have a story,
right?
A beginning and an ending,
right?
And then they go from one to the other.
Yes.
Holy shit,
I can't.
Wait,
that's unreal.
I actually have one major question to
right.
ask Andrew.
Go ahead.
Is this a fake story or a real story?
Is it a fake story?
It's real, man.
Is it a fake story?
People can control air, fire, earth, and water.
Oh,
and
good.
And
no.
Apparently everywhere looks like China.
I'm putting that on a shirt. Fake story. That's so good.
Fake story.
Trailers. There was a trailer for this documentary, The Interrupters.
You got it?
The Violence Interrupters have one goal in mind every day. Stop killings. They're not trying to dismantle gangs. What they're trying to do is save a life.
I held him to his last breath. I didn't want to let him go.
As much as please, Almighty God.
All we want to know is what happened in this situation. How can we resolve it? And how can people live in peace and coexist?
No, stop. I want to stop you right now. That god-awful thing was not a trailer. That was the first 5 minutes of 60 Minutes. Like, that was...
Yeah, that wasn't a trailer.
Yeah.
That was a five-minute-long feature, right?
Oh,
exactly.
Goodness.
I mean,
it dragged in the middle. That's how long it was. And the end didn't resolve anything. It's just bad.
This was a feature on the 7 o'clock news. That's what I just watched a while ago.
You opened up another tab and watched two other trailers while this one played. That's how long ago.
Yes.
Oh. God. Why did you pick this, Andrew?
Because I think it looks like a really interesting documentary.
Fuck you.
Where exactly did you get that? At what point did you say, this looks interesting?
When I forgot about the trailer, and I picked up what the documentary was about, and I said, that sounds like an interesting topic. If there were people who, instead of just arresting people for doing crimes, tried to stop them before, and they weren't superheroes. They were just regular people walking around going, you know, you shouldn't shoot that person.
Didn't Kick-Ass go cover all of this last year? I don't understand. Nick Cage was lit on fire. That flew. I've seen that. It was built in China. I've seen it.
And it was awesome. And I'm pretty sure that was a fake story. No, that was a real story.
Are we going to keep on this one?
Yeah.
I think it's already bored, right?
That's pretty good. Fake stories. It's really good. It's really good.
So, alright, Damien, forget the trailer. The idea and what the documentary is really about. Would you watch it?
The idea doesn't fascinate me because there are social societies in every single country that spend time doing exactly that, talking to stupid people who are going around shooting people. It doesn't fascinate me in any way, shape, or... Now, if they were going out in the cover of night, right, and beating these people with, like, a bat, then maybe, but... think about it. For an hour and a half, there'll be people walking from door to door telling people not to shoot other people. That will be interesting for about 2.5 minutes.
Unless somebody actually shoots somebody.
Right.
I can tell you for a fact, because I saw this trailer. This would not be interesting for that long.
About 2.5 minutes.
Not even that. Maybe 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
doesn't seem interesting. Unless you do what I think you're going to do and force us to watch this, it's never going to happen.
Oh, yeah. And trust me, Andrew, I can get sick real easy.
Now, this movie is actually playing at Sundance this weekend. Or next week.
What do you think about
the trailer? I don't know. I think it looks interesting. I mean, I always like the idea of documentaries, you know, giving us insight into something that we probably don't know much about before. We all know about gang violence, but I mean, this idea of Ceasefire and the Interrupters, that was new to me. And it's by Steve James, who did Hoop Dreams, and that was a really good documentary. I'm sure I'll see it at some point, but I'm not running out to try to find it.
Now that you say, it's the same guy that did Hoop Dreams. It kind of started tilting me, and then I remember the trailer, and I still don't know. The trailer is really bad. It's really bad. But well, anyway, what was the other trailer?
Another trailer that came out this week that I wanted us to talk about was Perfect Sense, starring Ava Green and Ewan McGregor. And this is also going to be playing at Sundance.
Just tell me something.
Something
other people don't know about you. Something secret.
I think it's okay to panic now.
It wasn't me. I need you to come back to me.
Without love, there is nothing.
So, Jeremy, what did you think of this trailer?
You know, I thought this movie looked beautiful. I've never seen any of David Mackenzie's films, but, you know, the aesthetics and the acting that we seem to be getting here, it makes me very curious to see all of his films. I think it looks really good. I really like Ewan McGregor. Young Obi-Wan Kenobi in a love story. Why not?
Can we not talk about young Obi-Wan Kenobi?
We will not talk about young Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And you can think of him as Philip Morris.
That's better.
I love that movie.
I still have not seen that.
It's really good.
It's I wouldn't say that it's really good. It's really good. Extremely interesting in certain aspects. Like, I love Jim Carrey's character, and I love how he always...
Especially when you realize that it's based on...
I still don't believe it.
You, there's this thing that you can check.
It's still based on what?
Internet.
On real life, apparently. Apparently, right. These are real people, and all of these things that happen
actually happened. He's in prison right now.
So I love you, Philip Morris. This is a real story, you're saying?
Yes, it's not a fake story. It's a real story.
It's a real story.
I think, is that what a real story means, Andrew? Is that what real and fake? Is that the
so ignore my co-host.
So is Inglourious Basterds a real story? Or was that a fake story? Or was it partly real until the end and it became a fake story?
Honestly, I think that's a real story. I believe it. It sounds like a real story.
Okay, we need to go back to the drawing board and try to figure out
if it's real. Yeah, like away from Perfect Sense to talk about Inglourious Basterds.
Anyways, Perfect Sense. I have to say, I'm with you, Jeremy. This thing does look beautiful. But then again, it's directed by David McKenzie, who I don't know much about, except he directed Spread last year. A couple years ago, sorry. And I haven't watched it, but it's Ashton Kutcher being a whore, and it didn't look good at all.
What? Do you not like Ashton Kutcher?
Are really good at this conversation.
But he was punked. He's Bruce Willis's son.
Isn't that? He's Bruce Willis's son.
He is.
That's what Ricky Gervais told me.
I didn't get that joke. Why is that funny? Bruce Willis's son. I did not get that joke.
No, that's one of the things Gervais said.
No, I know that's one of the. I heard
he's,
him say.
He's married.
Banging
to
Demi Moore.
Who is Bruce Willis's ex-wife?
Right.
Oh, I didn't know.
And he's young enough to be Bruce Willis's son.
Okay, I get it. No, I didn't know Demi Moore was Bruce Willis's ex-wife.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't care about that shit.
That's a joke that's been around for like years. Right. The trailer Muted is a very good trailer. But all that pretentious nonsense that they're talking about, how they cut the trailer, it just feels like one of those kinds of movies. You know those indie movies that are targeted at critics that they'll all fall over, you know, to say, oh, this and all. It sounds pretentious, but it looks really good. So, no sound. I'm probably going to watch it because I've seen Eva Green in two movies. One was Bond.
Yeah, which was
the other one?
I'm trying to remember the other one.
You sound like you've never seen her in anything else.
I can't
She's
remember
in quite a few movies, Andrew. You know what I actually enjoyed?
Have you
she
seen
was in
The
a
Dreamers?
Movie. What's that?
Sorry.
The Dreamers.
Have you seen The Dreamers?
Right.
Is that the one with Michael Pitt?
Yes.
I think that movie.
Yeah, I think
yes, that's what I was
right.
going to talk about.
Yeah, she's in Kingdom of Heaven. I never noticed her.
Another movie that I actually really like, that she's in Kingdom of Heaven.
All right.
So I like her.
I like Ewan McGregor. So I'll watch this movie. Despite the trailer.
Douglas?
Watch it with earmuffs.
No, I'll watch. It won't be cut. The movie won't be cut like how the trailer was cut. So.
Okay.
I'll be able to watch it then.
Douglas, any thoughts? Or would you like to just move on?
I have nothing to say about this trailer.
So we can move on.
You have still found no good trailers this week.
Last trailer this week that I want to talk about was a new trailer that came out for Rubber.
I'm starting to like it.
Door just opened.
Come on. Be a good boy. Blow my head off.
Again. Guys with that flamethrower, just go.
Weirdos.
And I know Douglas wants to talk about this one, so Douglas, what did you think about Rubber?
Is what Rubber?
Yes,
that's
Rubber.
The name of this movie?
And
what's it about? Does it have any sort of prophylactic involved in here?
I'd like to tell you I was about to make that joke, but I stopped myself. And then you had to pick up the baton.
Because it was a terrible joke.
It has to be done. If you will not do it, then you know what? I will get my hands dirty.
Good stuff. Okay. So, Rubber, what did you think?
Actually, I thought this trailer was awesome. But at the same time, I don't know how much the kind of funniness, the hilarity that I get out of this trailer, how much that can translate into an actual feature-length film. So actually, I do want to see the movie almost as an experiment, but I'm almost 95% sure that this movie cannot be as good as it looks.
Damon?
I will say I actually got to see Rubber at Fantastic Fest last year.
Oh, wow.
And it is every bit as good as this trailer, I can say. You can read my review over at firstshowing.net. It is crazy and surreal and hilarious, and it really plays on the conventions of storytelling. I mean, the movie is about a living tire that rolls down the street, and when it comes across someone, it blows their head up. Literally blows their head up. This movie is amazing. And I think the trailer probably gives the inclination that the comedy is a lot broader than it actually is. The movie's really more of a satire, and it is really kind of an experimental film, but yeah, it's worth checking out. It's really a great movie. You guys need to check it out.
He gave it a 9 out of 10.
You have given me hope, sir. Hope.
I did give it a 9 out of 10. I loved it.
Well, I think my favorite part of this trailer is when the police car comes up to the tire, and the tire stops, and it turns around. I'm like, whoa, the tire turned around. So it definitely has like a face that is rolling on or something.
let me tell you how weird of an experience this film is. And I don't know that they're going to do this at all of the theaters that they show it in. I really can't imagine they can. But when we sat down to watch it, waiters came in and handed everybody a plate with a fried chicken leg on it and said, it is up to you whether or not you eat this or not. And that had no bearing on anything in the movie. It was just something that they did for this movie. They gave everybody a chicken leg.
Why do you make me hate that theater every day? Anytime I hear stories like this,
I need to leave. I need to leave Jamaica.
I'm like, I want that kind of experience.
Can you guys build a bridge so that I can just drive to the theater and then drive home? Oh, jeez, that's so good.
Really?
Looks fun. It looks weird. Really, really weird.
Looks like a Douglas movie.
I was trying to go around saying that does look like
if
a
only
Douglas
it was
movie.
A French director.
Then it would have actually been a Douglas movie. but just like we saw that trailer in Christmas about the Santa
rare
Claus
exports.
Killing, yeah, rare exports.
I'm so
rare exports.
Right, I want to see that movie and this movie like a double feature, just back to back, to get all the crazy shit of this year out of the way in one day. Just get myself ready for a lot of madness because it does look great.
Thinking about what this movie is, and you can answer this question because you've seen the film, Jeremy. I'm kind of curious to see if they actually have any moments in the film where they have like a long shot where the tire is rolling for like 2 minutes straight, because it looks like they have no control of this tire. It looks like they push it and they film the camera for like 30 seconds.
I mean, I don't think there are like any unbroken shots like that, but the first, I'd say probably the first 10-15 minutes of the movie is just the tire rolling along down the desert road.
I don't think
there are any like unbroken shots actually.
Because I kind of imagine initially this movie started with someone following a tire on a road for no apparent reason, and then he was like, "What if the tire could blow up people's heads?"
And then it just blows people's heads up. Yeah,
and it just happens.
I think two guys were sitting down. And they were high as shit. And one said, we should make a movie about a tire. And the other one said, that sounds great. If only the tire could kill people. And they wrote it down.
They gave us a name.
Right, they pitched it to some producer who was also high at the time.
Can I tell you, by the way, I really love that about the trailer. In the beginning, it says something like, meet Robert.
Meet Robert.
Robert.
Yeah. Do any of the... Because
that is the tire's name.
Do any of the...
He actually even gets a credit in the film.
Do any of the characters in the film actually call him Robert?
God, I'm trying to remember. I don't think so. I don't think he actually has a name in the movie.
Okay, just curious.
Alright.
That was such a trailer for the week.
Winnebago Concepts and Engineering Departments have developed a multifunctional bathroom. Privacy, I don't even know what the f*** I'm reading. I'm gonna slate this f***. Yeah, you big dumb son of a... I don't want any more bull from anyone. That includes me.
I love this clip. I watch it like every time I'm in a bad mood.
Oh, I've seen this like hundreds of times. This guy's a legend.
Yep.
Make my mind work.
Jed Rebney would be the holy grail of stars to meet from these videos.
We could never find him, so we just assumed he was gone.
You start to think, well, who is this guy? What happened to him?
That's weird. There's no...
Anyways, this week, I thought it would be really cool if we all sat down and we watched this documentary called Winnebago Man.
And you were wrong.
Well, I guess I'll leave you to later. it's this documentary about this guy,
Jack Rebney,
who apparently was a part of this viral experience from the 1980s up, after someone released the outtakes of a Winnebago promotional video that he was filming, in which he's really, really angry. And this
he is pissed off.
This filmmaker, Ben Steinbauer, decides, you know what, I want to find out more about this person. And that's what the movie's really about. Jeremy, what are your thoughts on this film?
I really enjoyed Winnebago Man. I mean, like I said with the Interrupters trailer, you know, the best documentaries kind of show you something you might not know much about beforehand. I didn't know anything about Jack Rebney before I saw this. I've seen hundreds of these YouTube viral videos and these internet memes, but this was one that I had never seen before. I think it's a highly entertaining documentary, but it's also moving and engaging, especially near the end when he goes to the film festival, the found footage film festival. I think it really gives kind of a different vision of a different kind of celebrity. I mean, to that, I think it would make a really good double feature with Best Worst Movie.
I was thinking the same thing, actually.
Two movies about two people dealing with their own strange sense of celebrity. You have George Hardy in that movie. But I mean, Winnebago Man, it's also a sweet movie. It's very moving, especially when you find out at some point in the film, you find out that he's gone blind. But it doesn't get too sentimental. I think the director, Ben Steinbauer, he does a really good job including bits of that original video throughout the movie. And every time he goes back to that, it's hilarious.
I love actually when the film ends and he's having this whole wonderful note when he's leaving Jack Rebney, and then immediately he cuts to a clip of the video going with him going like, do you believe that shit, and just ends the movie.
Just do me this one kindness.
Just do you this one kindness. this is actually a whole thing that I, just like you, Jeremy, I didn't know anything about this until people were starting to talk about this actual film. I didn't know about this viral video, about this anger guy or anything. And when I was watching the clips at the beginning of the film, I have to say that, I mean, I definitely had that laugh moment where I was like, this dude is just really, really angry and really annoying. And it can be funny, but I don't think I would have been one of those guys who are clicking on YouTube just pressing play after play to laugh at it, because yes, David, you're the asshole of the group, we know you'd do that. Because even though there were like choice spots where I found it kind of funny, like when he was talking about the what's that French word that they were saying?
That's my
accoutrement. I was like, just because he used the word accoutrement, that makes it funnier. Especially when you go to the festival and you hear them bring up that bit. Like, that's a really funny moment for me. But what
accoutrement? What the hell is that shit?
But what I think my problem with this movie is somewhere in the middle. The beginning is great, because when you're talking about the clips and when you're talking about trying to find Jack, and when you actually find Jack and when you see his disposition and stuff, you're kind of like, that's weird. And the end, when he's at the festival and he's really being himself, that's really great. But in the middle, when the filmmaker is basically trying to force Jack to open up himself to the film, like, it becomes an experience of just someone who really wants to make a film and someone who he needs for it, and just you're not getting it. So it's like, it's kind of like if I was a filmmaker at this point, I'd be like, okay, fuck this shit, and I'd go home. I'd be like, I wasted 3 months of my life trying to track down this guy and I can't get the film I want, because he refuses to let me do this. So that's all there's gonna be. But then it comes back around when he ends up finally opening up himself, in only in the respect of the viral and the celebrity that he's gained through this video. And he goes to this festival and it's really cool. And just like how you said, it really works well together with another film from last year, Best Worst Movie, where you have people trying to deal with their own different kinds of celebrity. Except in this one, you don't have the character getting frustrated with his celebrity as much as in Best Worst Movie, I think.
I have to kind of agree with some of the things that you are saying. This movie, I think it was an okay little movie, but it wasn't great by any means. You can definitely draw lots of parallels with it and Best Worst Movie, which was I love that film.
I just love that Italian filmmaker. I don't know why these people are laughing at that movie. That was not a joke.
Well, do you guys think that Best Worst Movie works better than Winnebago Man, because that's a film about people who are seeking some kind of celebrity, and this is kind of forced on him?
No, actually,
with Winnebago Man?
The reason I prefer Best Worst Movie is because it feels like it has a full arc of of real story, as Andrew might put it. But in this film,
next week we forget that one.
In this film, in Winnebago Man, as Andrew says, it's really good. The lead up is really good, because you're introduced to these videos, and then you go for a good half an hour in trying to find this guy. Who is this Jack Rebney? I found a boat listing with him in it, and maybe I can get some sort of private detective to find him. And then you find him. But then once Jack is found, the movie stalls completely. It is, a little bit after that, but the movie stalls in the middle. And as Andrew says, not only would Andrew actually walk away, but the filmmaker walked away. And then it felt to me as if at that point, Ben said, you know what, I've got almost a whole movie, I just need one more half hour, what can I do? Maybe I can convince him to go to this phone footage film festival so that I can just tack on an extra half an hour to my film and make it feature length. And that's what it felt like, because it didn't feel like there was a full arch or a full arc of, you know, story, or it was like, I'm going to find this person, I found him, now what? And there was nothing after that. There was no answer to the now what section of it. And yes, the only thing in the end that I feel like Andrew may say that, you know, was great about the film festival, or that there was some sort of, I guess you could almost think of it as character development, even though this is real life, was when Jack said that he had at first thought that these people he would meet at the festival would be, you know, stupid people.
Retards.
Right? But he realized that they were actually, I think his words were something like, he's quite clever and quick.
And he's kind of
evil. Observant.
Yeah, an observant. But that's like one line in...
Actually, for me, when you're talking about the development, I think more than that line of dialogue, what shows it a lot more is before he goes to the festival, you see his friend, whose name I can't remember right now.
Keith something.
He asks him, like, okay, we're going to go to this festival. You know, there are a lot of people who, even though you won't admit it, really like you and really like these videos which you're going to watch. What are you going to do if someone comes up and asks you for an autograph? And he's like, fuck that shit, I'm never going to sign one. But then when you see him at the festival, he's like all smiling for pictures. He's so happy for the applause. He's signing every autograph you can see him sign.
I didn't see him signing anything.
Everybody wants to be a celebrity.
And like that, I think, was more showing of his acceptance of the celebrity that he refused to accept that he had. Right. And growth as a character than that line of dialogue that you mentioned.
Well, I mean, I also think that the film, there's kind of a redemptive quality to the film also, especially early on when you get an indication of what could happen to someone who's in Jack Rebney's position, when they talk about the Star Wars kid and how that turned out for him. That was horrible. And he completely didn't accept it, whatever celebrity YouTube kind of thrust upon him. But I think Jack Rebney, on the other hand, kind of realized that he needs to accept this. He needs to face these people and almost face his fears, actually.
And you see, that's the thing for me. Whenever, like, you're seeing these videos on YouTube, I know that it's funny because it's ridiculous and it's silly and it's stupid. But there's actually a person there who never intended for it to be funny.
No,
or never intended it
to
be published.
Stop lying to me. Stop telling fake stories, Andrew. Listen, when I watch people getting embarrassed...
When you watch someone getting hit in the nuts...
They are not real people. They are things on the screen that make me laugh. And nothing more.
So, Damien, what did you think about this film?
I didn't... like this film, not because of, you know, anything that the film did. It wasn't the documentary's fault. It was just the subject matter. What you said a while ago, you said it in jest, but that is how I feel about all the funny videos I see. I do not, absolutely do not want to see the other side. I don't care about the other side.
Oh, you're like those guys.
I just want to see the funny part, and that is it. And when they spoke to the guys at the Found Footage Festival, that is how they said, they're like, yeah, you know, we just do it because you use it as an escape, right? It's the same reason I was telling Andrew once that I don't really like to listen to a lot of the times I find listening to the audio commentary on DVDs. I would like to do it because then they break down stuff that I don't need to. I want to watch the movie and take what I want out of the movie. Mm. Introducing what you intended, right? And, you know, all of that. That is not necessary to me. So a lot of times I skip right past that. That serves no purpose to me at all. And finding out that this guy... I mean, I heard about this movie 2 years ago. Yeah, I think it was at Sundance or one of those, and they were giving a recap and people were talking about the movie. So I went and I saw the clip and watched and rewatched the clip over and over. And it was hilarious. About 25 minutes of this guy being a miserable bastard. And the first time they spoke to him in the documentary, he put on a face. He was this nice, pleasant man, and you wasn't this angry bastard that they saw in the video. And when I saw that, I went, there's no way the guy that is on that clip is that same guy. And so when he called him back and said, you know, come meet the real me, and I saw that, of course, he's a angry, miserable bastard, then everything else about the movie, I just had no connection to, because I didn't need to see him. I didn't need to know his story, because that's irrelevant to the Winnebago man part. He and his celebrity has nothing to do with me. I try to separate people from their celebrity personas. I don't know the person themselves, and I try to keep it that way. It's the same reason when, you know, people say, you know, R. Kelly does this, or Michael Jackson does this, or Kobe Bryant does this. None of that matters to me, because that's their personal business. They can keep that nonsense to themselves. I only care about portions of them that it's the same reason we don't watch extra news. What's those movie, those celebrity news things that come on through the day, like Extra and
like TMZ?
Yeah. None of us watch any of that because we don't care,
right?
We don't. So this is just breaking one of the rules that I have when I watch anything, is that they're telling me backstory about somebody I didn't want to know about. So I didn't find the documentary fascinating at all. Well, that's just me. I didn't have anything to do with the documentary.
So you're saying if you could edit down this film, you'd basically just get the 24 minutes.
Right, no, I already saw the portion of this movie that I wanted to see. And I saw it many times. It's still funny. In fact, there, like, whenever I enjoyed when he showed movies where they took dialogue from this sketch and put it in the movie. Cool.
Like,
and
there was a Ben Affleck poster. Right.
there was a part from 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm. Right, and Pixar has him in the office. Like, stuff that's like that. Cool. That is funny, right? That was all that they did, was just track down people who has parodied this. And, you know, I'd have enjoyed it. Like the Double Rainbow guy. Do I want to know about the Double Rainbow guy, what he does in real life? I couldn't care less.
Did you see the Auto-Tune one?
Yeah.
Antoine Dodson.
All right, Antoine Dodson. Right, hide your kids, hide your wife.
Because they're in everybody.
You have missed the best meme of last year.
Wait, actually, Andrew's even worse than me. He doesn't even know.
Double Rainbow is tremendous. Oh, let's go to YouTube and type in Double Rainbow and prepare to have your mind.
You have to show blown. Them to them, both of them, and the auto tunes.
Right, and Antoine Dodson. This guy tried to rape his sister. Right, and he gave the greatest interview of all. It was so good that they had to auto tune. It is his song.
And the news channel used this song. Every bit of footage they had from him, because they knew they had gold.
He even performed the song that someone did for him at the BET Awards. That is how popular the meme. No. You have to see these two. It is so good. Now, I want to know about any of these guys? I couldn't care less. It has nothing to do with me. That is just going to break my reality. I don't care. I don't want to know about these people. All I want is the celebrity part. I don't care about the actual
person. Right. You want your 2-minute clip on YouTube. You want to see the kid wipe out on a skateboard. Exactly. You don't want to see next day when he goes to school and tells all his friends that he got racked for real.
Right, and he can't have kids because he did something stupid. Right? America's Funniest Home Videos. Imagine if they tracked down all of those people and told you what their lives was like. Right? Even when they're there to collect their prize, no one asks them what happened after the funny moment. They just sit there, they hand them the money, and there's 1 second of them in the corner smiling at the funny shit that they did. That's all I don't care about them. I don't want to.
I have to say, though, that I noted one thing throughout the film that really had nothing to do with whether I did or did not enjoy the movie, was that this guy, Jack Rebney, had a really good speaking voice.
He did.
That's probably why they made him do the trailer, the commercial.
Yes. It's not a commercial. It's an industrial film. Just like the one that we saw for that documentary.
Good work. Good work.
Yeah, imagine the outtakes on the... was it the interrupters?
The interrupters.
I mean, gotta stop moving that camera.
I'm sure a few people died in the outtakes. Yes.
So good.
You know what the interrupters needs is Antoine Dodson.
Yes. You guys go on, wait until you see the video.
I'm sure when I'm done recording, I'm going
this,
to watch it.
This is a guarantee. It is gold.
I almost demand you play it right now because I want to hear it.
I only hear memes through tech news because I listen to a lot of tech news. And so when memes filter into tech news, they're really big.
No.
It's not every single meme. The meme has to be really big for anyone who is doing news to point to it. And this is really good. These two are good. There's one for this year so far. Australia has been flooded.
Yeah.
And there's a guy named Steve the Butcher who he went on TV and said that there are sharks swimming down the street. And the interview that he gave is so
Wait, stop.
Okay,
I don't care how awesome the
shark is swimming down the street.
I really would like to know, are there really sharks swimming
down
the street?
No, they're not.
Because that would be I need to get a camera and really go down to Australia. I'm just like, that would be filming a horror.
I don't want to know about Steve. I don't want to know about Antoine Dodson, our double rainbow guy. None of that.
Since we're just throwing out memes that you guys have to check out after the show, you need to look up Intervention Best Cry Ever.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. What do you guys do on the internet?
Wait, they haven't seen that either?
I've seen that one. Andrew sent me Baby Mop, which is the greatest product of all time, and you haven't seen Double Rainbow. I cannot believe this.
Baby Mop is fantastic.
Baby Mop is tremendous. Have you seen Baby Mop?
No, I haven't seen Baby Mop. I'll need to check that one out. Also, along with Steve the Butcher.
Yes. Japanese people are great.
I'm making a list, actually.
I'm currently typing everyone who used to mention into my BlackBerry, so I remember to look at them when I'm at work tomorrow.
Well, this is much better than the discussion we're going to have after the review. Just informing people about memes. So good.
I don't know. That's just a part of the internet that only if I happen to catch it on a website that I read magically.
Right. I listen to a lot of tech news, and whenever they have to stop talking about tech news to tell everybody about some meme, it has to be really good. And so I always take the time to watch it, and they usually are spot on. They're very good.
So did they tell you about the Winnebago Man?
No, that was Sundance 2009. Mm. Almost every podcast after Sundance was talking about this movie. Was First Showing doing a podcast then? No, I don't know.
I think they started it in
2010.
The briefcase came from Movie Geeks.
Right. I know First Showing started a podcast in 2010.
I can't remember what the name of that podcast was.
First Showing.
I do not remember. Right. I don't know.
I know it was Will Schiffenbaum and Sean Hunter and someone else doing it. And they're now writing for Gordon and the Whale.
Yep.
Right.
Can't remember the name for the hell of me.
Sure. Alright, so Winnebago Man, you guys like it?
I didn't think it was a great documentary, I thought it was okay.
Is it better than Restrepo?
Yes. Because I know on top of it being true, it would aggravate the shit out of you.
Wait, you guys didn't like Restrepo?
No. They didn't like Restrepo because they're crazy people. I love Restrepo.
Restrepo is a great movie.
Thank you. They came up with a lot of reasons why they didn't like the movie, which I shot down in the same podcast, and then they just threw up their hands and went, I still didn't like it. They're like, why did this happen? It was in the movie. But I did. Why did that happen again in the movie? I didn't get it. Okay. That was that.
That's what happens. That's what happens when you shoot real stories. Is things just happen?
Yeah.
Somehow I know Douglas would find that funny, but he's currently asleep.
No, I'm not. And just to prove that I'm not asleep, I will ask you, what did you just say?
You've been very quiet the last 3 or 4 minutes, Douglas.
Oh, it's that pee break. And on that note, I think we can just end this review.
Oh no. Fair enough.
I'm sorry you had to deal with that guy. Where's that cab going?
Train station.
Where's the train going?
Prague. Come on. Let's be smugglers. I mean, I think it'd be fun. We should do this.
No.
Why not?
Well, first off, we don't have $1 million.
A million... That's like, I've got... That's whatever. I mean, give me a real reason.
This is real. It's dangerous. This could go very bad.
Well, I think a little real danger might suit me. So, if you three want to join my smugglers gang, I'll, consider it.
This isn't an adventure story.
What are you talking about? Well, it totally is!
This week, because we're talking about Winnebago Man and this whole documentary, I was kind of curious to find out, you know, which do you prefer, documentaries or narrative films?
Real stories or fake stories?
Real stories or fake stories?
Real stories versus fake stories, keeping it with this.
I think I have to say that fake stories are greater than real stories. Sorry.
Yeah, no, this is going to be a very interesting discussion, because... real life sucks, which is why we made movies, Andrew.
Yeah, you know, movies are generally an escape from reality.
I think real stories or documentaries can be better than narratives. There just aren't... I mean, I don't think I watch enough documentaries, probably, to see enough to make me want to see more documentaries than narratives. But,
No, we're not disputing whether or not... real stories can't be better than fake stories. There are a lot of shitty fake stories. But the best fake story will always be better than the best real story.
But how many movies, I think it was in 08, Man on Wire came out. Okay. How many movies were actually better than Man on Wire?
Did Dark Knight come out in 2008?
Yeah. No. All that I have to say to you is Youth in Revolt. Youth in Revolt was better than Man on Wire.
Alright, yeah, let's
stop that now. We're not making Youth into a meme.
Exactly. We're keeping real and fake stories. That we'll keep. Youth in Revolt, you're just stupid. Man on Wire wasn't better than Dark Knight. Fascinating.
You're right about that.
It was fascinating. It was really good, and I love that documentary. But Heath Ledger was in that documentary.
Just like as good as Exit Through the Gift Shop was last year, it still wasn't better than True Grit.
Right.
So
or Black Swan.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
So how about this? Documentaries versus biopics. Is the best documentary better than the best biopic?
No,
or the other way around? Right.
So if Soderbergh is right in the biopic, like The Social Network, then no.
Did you mean to say Soderbergh?
No,
Sorkin or Fincher?
I'm going to see myself out, guys. I'm very tired, I'm going home. Right, if Sorkin...
Sorry, I was making sure.
Right, not Soderbergh.
Yeah,
if
I was like,
Sorkin
Soderbergh, right?
is writing I don't even feel like to continue anymore. Right.
Yeah, I think probably the best biopics are probably better than the best documentaries, but the worst biopics are a hell of a lot worse than the worst documentaries. I mean, those musical biopics that came out a few years ago that just became so commonplace and so cliched to the point that they made Walk Hard. It's basically just the answer to all those musical biopics.
Yes.
It's all because everyone wanted to remake, what was that movie?
Ray.
Spinal Tap.
No, Ray was the one that made Trillions.
So they wanted that Ray money.
You know which documentary this year I want to see, which I think is at Sundance? The Tribe Called Quest documentary?
There's a documentary on the Tribe Called Quest?
Yeah.
Ray. Yeah, it's actually directed by... can't think of his name.
Is it one of the people from Tribe Called Quest?
No, it's directed by an actor, and he was in Deep Blue Sea and True Romance. Michael Rapaport.
Michael Rapaport. Wow.
He directed it.
Look, I'll give Michael Rapaport any leeway he needs. He gave a special. Have you seen
it? Haven't seen it. Oh my god, I want to watch that movie.
I have not seen Special.
Oh,
I want to
Lord.
Watch that, and I want to watch, so even though I know it's not Rapaport, I want to watch Defendor. I feel like that is...
Oh, Defendor was really good.
Defendor is really good.
I enjoyed that a lot.
Defendor is good, but I didn't really like it that much.
So the name of that Tribe Called Quest documentary, the name of it's Beats, Rhymes, and Life.
Oh, that makes sense. I think that's the name of one of their albums.
I think so.
Yep.
Yeah. I like them. They are, or they used to be, really, really good.
A lot of rappers used to be.
Well, no, actually, I mean, if you want to talk about rappers individually, Q-Tip is still pretty amazing.
I haven't heard anything from Q-Tip in years.
Go and listen to, he had an album come out like last year or a year before.
Okay. I'll find
The Renaissance, I think is what it's called. It's really good.
I've not heard the whole album, but from what I've heard of Ghostface Killah's new album, it's pretty good too.
I love Ghostface Killah.
I know.
But he's more like, I love him because I laugh at him, than I love him because he has real skills.
The Roots put out an album last year.
Yeah, that
was pretty me.
It was good.
Negative.
I like The Roots. The Roots are awesome.
How I Got Over, I think that's the
name
of it.
That's
yeah.
The one.
I really like three songs, and then the rest of the songs don't have enough black thought on it.
You know what I thought actually about the album was that it was really short.
It was.
Magically we've gone into random rap albums at this point.
I thought we answered the discussion. Fake movies, fake stories are better than real stories.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, I guess we can talk about random rap
until I'm just waiting for them to build the Ground Zero Mosque in New York. And then some crazy American blows up the Ground Zero so that I can see that movie. That movie should be really good. No.
Did you watch Four Lands, by the way?
No.
You haven't seen Four Lands? Oh.
I hear that it's really funny.
You'd like it.
So do I.
I saw the trailer.
I saw the first half hour and I was like, it's okay.
I got a screen off King's Speech, so that's the next movie I'm watching. Four Lands. You have to sit down and wait.
Anyways, I guess at this point we can say goodbye unless anyone else has anything else to say, because I'm just blubbering at this point.
Meantime. Let's go YouTube, fire it up.
I think the only thing I have left to say is hide your kids, hide your wife.
Hide your kids. What? You cannot. I can't wait till you guys see this. Oh, Jesus.
I guess you're talking about what it was before.
Let us close out the podcast so that we can get in the memes and I can go.
Before we go, I'd like to thank Jeremy for coming on with us. I know I've been begging you for a long time to come on the show.
I know. Yeah, I finally got it worked out.
To debase himself.
He's never coming back here, Andrew. Never.
Coming on to this cutter issue.
Jeremy, is there anywhere you want to point people to on the internet before we go?
Well, I mean, you can find my writing always at firstshowing.net, at filmschoolrejects.com, and every week you can hear me on the Golden Briefcase. You can find that over at firstshowing.net. And also you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/JeremyKKirk.
Okay. Damien can't be found, so I'm not talking to him. Douglas.
Well, generally every week I would say that I put out an article on gmanreviews.com.
No, you
so
don't.
You can probably see me there.
No,
and, usually daily I post something to mashbits.com.
No,
so there is that as well. Also there's decaffeinationreport.com,
no,
which
don't.
I have, which I post fairly regularly,
no,
at least once per month.
Just say what you do post. We know what you post. It's on Twitter.
Yes, it's on Twitter. My Twitter name is DJ R Lost His Name. You can follow me if you'd like. And you know, that's it.
You can find all my writings at gmanreviews.com. My podcast is there, the one that you're listening to right now. It's
nice
there.
Do it now.
You can find me on Twitter at gmanreviews, and Gman Reviews is on Facebook. Facebook.com/GmanReviews.
Oh, so that's
like us.
Why the websites look like that. Facebook. Yeah, I think you're taking Facebook Integrator too literally.
Anyways, thanks for listening.
Had your wife, had your kids, had your wife, had your kids, had your wife. Had your husband, cause they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to call and confess. We're looking for you. We gon' find you. We gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that. Homeboy, homeboy. We got your t-shirt and the left finger prints, and oh, you are so dumb. You are really dumb, for real.
The man.